Welcome to the Deep Dive, where we take the crucial, often unseen components of massive industries and, well, we put them under the microscope.
And today we are going deep into something most of us just see as decoration, the paint on an aircraft.
Exactly. It's a sector that's facing what you could call a perfect storm.
Mm-hmm.
There's this unprecedented demand, intense environmental pressure, and a constant, almost desperate need for a greater efficiency.
It sounds so simple, though, doesn't it? Just color. But, I mean, if you really think about it, that paint is fighting brutal conditions at 40,000 feet. You're talking about extreme UV radiation, far harsher than anything we experience on the ground. You have massive temperature swings, you know, from Arctic cold up at altitude to tropical heat on the runway.
Not to mention the chemicals.
Right. Constant chemical attacks, high alkaline cleaning agents, de-icing solutions, and, of course, hydraulic fluids, which can be incredibly corrosive.
It is so much more than decoration. It's a critical working protective layer.
Mm-hmm.
And the standard expectation for these coatings, it's not just to look nice on delivery. It's to last as long as possible.
Ideally, until the aircraft is due for its next heavy structural inspection.
Which could be, what, 7, 8, even 10 years away?
Exactly. And if that paint fails early, that's expensive, unplanned downtime, which is, you know, the bane of any airline's existence.
So that's our mission today. We've gathered insights from the leaders who are really shaping this field. We're going to synthesize the latest developments from the chemical powerhouses like Mankiewicz, Sherwin-Williams, and AkzoNobel.
And we're also looking at the crucial application specialists, the MROs. That's maintenance, repair, and overhaul providers, specifically airborne colors.
Our goal is to really understand how they are simultaneously juggling four major and often conflicting demands: maximizing durability, boosting productivity, meeting severe environmental standards, and finally, pushing the boundaries of aesthetics and color.
And we're drawing on some serious expertise. We've got insights from Renee Lang at Mankiewicz, Julie Voisin from Sherwin-Williams, Patrick Bourguignon over at AkzoNobel, and Simon Cracknell from Airborne Colors.
So we are going to unpack the science and the strategy behind this absolutely crucial part of the aerospace supply chain. Let's start with Mankiewicz and the technology that has really become the gold standard for commercial aviation. That's the base coat clear coat system.
Right. It feels very familiar because, you know, we see it on our cars.
But on an aircraft, the stakes are just so much higher, aren't they?
Yeah.
The surface area, the operating environment, the lifespan you expect, it's all exponentially greater.
It's a whole different ballgame.
Yeah.
And Renee Lang from Mankiewicz notes this system is dominant because it compartmentalizes the coating's functions. So you have a solid color layer, that's your base coat, which gives you the color and the hiding power.
And then over that?
Over that, you have a clear, high-performance polyurethane protective coating. That's the clear coat.
And that clear coat is doing all the heavy lifting, isn't it? It seems to have these three critical functions, and two of them are directly linked to performance at altitude.
Precisely. First, it physically protects the base coat underneath from erosion, you know, small impacts, that kind of thing.
Okay, that makes sense.
Second, and this is crucial for longevity in aviation, it provides really strong UV protection.
Right, because you're flying above most of the protective atmosphere.
Exactly. UV radiation at that altitude is just relentless. And without that high barrier clear coat, the base color pigments would degrade. They'd fade rapidly. You'd be looking at a repaint after maybe only 3 or 4 years.
So the clear coat is acting like a chemical sunscreen, just protecting that expensive aesthetic layer underneath it.
That's a great way to put it. And the third function is purely aesthetic. It delivers that high gloss finish. The industry actually has a metric for this. It's called DOI, or distinctness of image.
DOI, so it's not just a shine test.
No, it's a function of how sharp and distortion-free a reflected image is off the surface. So a high DOI equals a premium, well-maintained look, and that is a major factor in brand perception for airlines.
It sounds like this system is also key if an airline wants one of those metallic or special finishes, which seem to be getting more and more common.
It is. The clear coat acts as the carrier for those special finishes, like mica.
Ah, so that's how they get that glittery effect.
Yep. If you see that metallic sheen on an airliner, the mica is usually suspended within the clear coat. And this allows that pigment to be carried safely on the surface, delivering the look you want without compromising the integrity of all the protective layers underneath, like the primer and the anti-corrosion treatments.
So durability is the name of the game here. And it's driven heavily by the OEMs, the original equipment manufacturers. They want to deliver a plane that needs as little work as possible after it's handed over. So what's a really impressive benchmark for how long these coatings can last?
Renee Lang shared this fantastic real-world anecdote. It was about a Canadian carrier, WestJet. They had a very complex Disney-themed special scheme on a Boeing 737-800, and it used Mankiewicz's Alexity system.
And how long did it last?
That complicated multi-layer paint job lasted for 10 years before it was repainted.
10 years. That is a phenomenal benchmark, especially for a special livery that's being flown constantly.
It is. And the critical detail here is that the reason for the repaint wasn't paint failure. It was because the commercial partnership between WestJet and Disney ended. The coating itself was still performing, structurally and aesthetically.
That's the strategic takeaway for the airlines, isn't it? If you can get a decade of performance, you might skip one, maybe even two, major repainting cycles over the aircraft's life.
Absolutely. Even if the advanced paint costs a bit more upfront, the massive savings in MRO downtime, where the plane is on the ground for days or weeks, more than justifies that investment. It shifts the coating from being just a material to being a repairable, high-performance asset.
Okay, so from durability, let's talk about speed. Lang highlighted the current market pressure. You have production capacities that are basically full all over the world.
Right. The OEMs have record-breaking order books, and MRO facilities are running 24/7.
So every little adjustment, every chemical innovation that can speed up the painting process is a massive economic benefit.
And this is where that Alex-based system is designed to directly address the productivity bottleneck. It's successful because it combines fast-drying properties with high coverage. And achieving that balance is it's a significant technical feat.
It's not just speed, though. It's flexibility, right?
Precisely. It offers flexible application properties so you can adjust the drying times. For a large, sprawling area like a wide-body fuselage, the paint needs a longer wet edge.
A wet edge.
Yeah, it means the edges of the area you just sprayed stay wet long enough for the painter to apply the next pass without creating a visible join line. It's critical for getting that high DOI finish we talked about.
You need good overspray uptake for huge surfaces to get that uniform finish.
Yes. But then, for smaller, more detailed areas or for touch-ups, you want the paint to cure much faster so the aircraft can move to the next stage or, leave the hangar. The system is engineered to handle both needs, minimizing the time the aircraft is taking up valuable hangar capacity.
This is where we get into some really cool process innovation. Lang introduced this concept of wild spraying. It sounds like chaos, but it's actually a remarkable reversal of the classic painting sequence.
And it directly tackles the biggest time and labor sink in multicolor jobs, masking.
Ah, masking. I can only imagine.
It's a huge burden. To get your head around the innovation, you have to think about the classic process. Traditionally, you start with the most frequent color, which, is almost always white or light shade. You spray that first.
And then the pain begins.
Exactly. Then you have to meticulously mask off all that freshly painted white area, ensuring a perfect seal along every curve, every window, every panel line before you can spray the next color. It takes an intensive workforce, it uses a ton of materials, and it adds hours, even days, to the process.
And the potential for errors must be high. Bleed through, poor adhesion.
All of it. So wild spraying flips that entirely.
But wait, if you start with the lowest frequency color, does that limit the kind of designs you can do?
That's a great question. Lang suggests the efficiency gains outweigh any limitations in certain designs. So instead of starting with the big white canvas, you apply the lowest frequency color first.
So, if an airline has a small dark blue stripe that only covers, say, 5% of the plane, you spray that first, mask it off, which is a much smaller masking job, and then you spray the massive 90% white fuselage over it.
Precisely. You slash the workforce and materials needed to mask the main color. And what's more, if the designers are clever about the color scheme, Lang notes it can even allow for spraying two different colors at the same time, as long as they're not too close together and you don't get overspray.
It's a strategic painting method designed purely for speed and labor reduction.
All to maximize hangar throughput.
And speaking of complex jobs, aesthetics are no longer just a nice to have. They are a core branding tool now.
They absolutely are. Mica and other special effect coatings are a massive growth area because aircraft owners, both commercial and private, want to stand out. Mica effects give you that design upgrade, that immediate impression of premium status.
And we're not just talking about small accent areas.
No, Mankiewicz has been instrumental in showing these effects work for full-body applications. Think of carriers like Etihad Airways or National Airlines with that uniform, high-class metallic finish across the entire plane.
And I imagine this trend is even bigger in business aviation.
Amplified. For smaller private jets, owners want unique, customized looks. Mica effects or deep custom solid colors on a smaller aircraft. It's the perfect way to express a personal or corporate brand. The plane becomes an extension of the owner.
Lange refers to the most complex liveries as lighthouse projects. I like that term. It suggests they're tests of technical capability as much as they are marketing efforts.
And we've seen two great recent examples of this kind of technological artistry. First, the collaboration with Brussels Airlines for their annual Tomorrowland Festival Airbus A320neo.
This was the one with the augmented reality element.
That's the one. It wasn't just paint. The highly detailed bird design on the side actually came to life when you scanned it with a smartphone.
That integration of AR with a physical coding? That's a fascinating new frontier for airline branding. You're connecting the physical asset to the digital marketing experience.
Absolutely. And the second example was the very high-visibility Condor Fliegdienst striped livery, customized in the red and black colors of the German soccer club Eintracht Frankfurt. These projects require perfect color matching and supply chain consistency. The brand identity has to be precise from the nose to the tail.
Let's talk about a breakthrough that has really direct economic implications. Alexit de Wingflex. This solves a historical problem of needing two fundamentally different coding systems for a single structure, the wing. Why was that necessary in the first place?
It was necessary because the top and bottom surfaces of the wing face, well, contrasting and almost mutually exclusive requirements.
Okay, break that down for us.
The upper side of the wing needs very high flexibility and excellent UV resistance. As the wing flexes dramatically during flight, the coating is under constant compression and tension. It needs to be elastic enough not to crack.
So it needs to be more like a flexible, almost thermoplastic material.
Exactly. But the lower surfaces, they face a different kind of chemical warfare. Strong resistance to harsh chemicals, primarily hydraulic fluids, fuel, de-icing chemicals, and coatings designed for extreme chemical resistance are typically harder and less flexible.
So it's fundamentally difficult to combine high flexibility and strong chemical resistance in one product.
Very difficult. But all except Wingflex did it. A single product for both the top and bottom surfaces.
So what does this actually mean for an airline beyond just simpler inventory?
Oh, the impact is immense. It really shifts how airlines manage maintenance. Using one system saves process time, downtime, and money during manufacturing and MRO.
But there's more to it, isn't there?
There is. The truly innovative part, the real so what, is that it now allows for touch-up and repair in service.
Okay. That's big.
It's huge. Previously, if a lower surface coating was damaged, the different chemistry might require a complex, multi-stage repair back in the hangar. This new material simplifies the repair protocol so much that you can avoid unscheduled maintenance. It shifts the coating from being a sacrificial layer to a manageable, repairable component. That's direct economic value from a chemical innovation.
And that immediate economic benefit is a direct answer to the soaring market demand that Renee Lange was describing.
For sure. Post-pandemic, the market has completely recovered and is reaching new heights.
The demand is just relentless. You've got current fleets needing maintenance, huge growth potential, and full OEM order books.
Which creates what Lange calls very high positive pressure to innovate on the paint manufacturers. The entire ecosystem is demanding better. They need systems that can shorten the painting process, extend durability, and perfectly match brand colors for these complex liveries. It's a genuine race for speed and performance because hangar capacity is now the single biggest constraint.
That pressure to innovate leads us perfectly into our deep dive with Sherwin-Williams. Julie Voisin, their aerospace market manager, provided this fantastic framework for how a major supplier approaches this complex industry. She calls it the four development buckets.
It's a great strategic roadmap for balancing those competing demands we were just talking about. They divide their development focus into four key areas: productivity, environment, durability, and color.
Let's quickly go through those because they really define the state of R&D right now. Productivity is all about making OEMs and MROs work faster, cutting down that cycle time.
Exactly. Environmental improvements are focused on reducing the chemical footprint. A big part of that is reducing VOCs, volatile organic compounds, which contribute to air pollution. It also means removing harmful chemicals, like moving to chrome-free solutions, which is often driven by stricter global regulations.
Durability is that longevity factor we talked about, making sure the paint holds up for that entire 10-year cycle.
And the final bucket, color, is all about aesthetics, delivering those unique finishes and special effects to meet the rising demand from airlines and private owners.
What's fascinating, and something Voisin highlighted, is that an innovation often doesn't stay neatly in just one bucket. Major breakthroughs can have benefits across multiple categories.
That's right.
But due to the demands of the environmental bucket, which often requires complex reformulation, typically conflict with the demands of the productivity bucket, which is all about speed.
Historically, yes, they often did. Replacing a highly efficient but regulated chemical like chrome often meant a slower, more difficult process with the replacement. But Voisin notes that this regulatory pressure has actually driven some synergistic benefits.
Can you give us a specific example where going green actually delivered an unexpected boost to speed?
Certainly. Take their Jet Prep pre-treatment product. It was initially developed for environmental reasons, specifically, to be chrome-free, replacing some highly restricted compounds used to prepare the aluminum surface before priming.
Okay, so a compliance-driven innovation.
Right. But in application, it turned out to be faster and simpler to apply than the older stuff.
So a solution driven by environmental rules also delivered a clear productivity improvement. It reduced the time needed before the primer could even go on. That's a key insight. Sometimes the strictest regulations force engineers to rethink the whole process, and that leads to surprising efficiencies.
And that pattern repeated with their new chrome-free primers. By removing the environmentally challenging element, the new formulations just reduce the overall time required to get to the actual top coat painting process. This kind of innovation is essential for their MRO customers who need every single minute of hangar time optimized.
Now let's talk about the paradox of speed in aviation, because it's fundamentally different from a high-volume car factory.
A whole different world.
We heard from Dan Shipanek, their global marketing director for automotive, who says that in car manufacturing, speed in application and drying is everything. Time is measured in seconds.
Right, but Julie Voisin clarifies that while speed matters for small aviation repairs, the dynamic changes completely for large aircraft, especially wide bodies. For these huge surface areas, fuselages, wings, the much larger paint runs mean that smooth paint flow and, counterintuitively, longer drying times are often more critical than sheer speed.
Why is smooth flow so much more important than drying speed on a wide body?
It's all about surface quality and long-term performance. If the paint dries too fast on a massive surface like a Boeing 777 fuselage, you risk getting application marks, streaks, inconsistencies. You need the paint to flow out smoothly to get that uniform, high DOI finish.
And that flawless surface is critical not just for looks, but for minimizing drag.
Exactly, and for ensuring the coating protects the underlying structure evenly.
So productivity isn't just about cutting drying time. It's about managing the drying time precisely for the size of the job.
That's it. Voisin explains that flexibility is key. They manage productivity using activators and specialized solvents. For instance, their CM0ACC201 aerospace clear coat, which is popular in general and business aviation, allows the drying time to be modified by blending activators in different ways.
So it gives the MRO facility total control.
Total control to tailor the application speed. If you're painting a small panel, you use a fast activator. Yeah. If you're painting an entire wing, you need a slow activator to maximize the time the paint has to flow out smoothly.
Shifting back to that color bucket, Shepanek mentions that aircraft owners really want to express themselves through their paint schemes. The plane is a massive visible asset, so color choices are strategically important.
And this is where their technology caters to that customization trend. Sherwin-Williams developed a really robust web-based tool called the Aircraft Color Visualizer.
Tell us about that. It sounds like it helps clients see the finished product before they commit.
That's its primary function. It lets you select a generic model, a light business jet, a turboprop, a helicopter, and then customize the scheme immediately. You can integrate one base color and up to three accents, mixing solids and metallics, all from their existing library of technically feasible colors.
So you can see your vision come to life right away without mixing a single drop of paint, which is crucial because a color that looks great on a tiny swatch might look completely different on a 100-foot fuselage under hangar lights.
Precisely. The tool lets you save, print, and share the design. And then critically, it refers you to a professional aircraft designer who can take that vision and make sure it's actually executable on your specific plane. You know, managing all the technical constraints like panel lines, rivets, antenna, it bridges that gap between the digital dream and the certified physical reality.
Julie Voisin also made a fascinating observation about the psychology of color choice, particularly in business aviation.
Yes, she noted this clear global divide. On one side, you have owners who want total anonymity. They prefer subtle whites and silvers.
And on the other?
On the other, you have those who want to use their aircraft as a mobile billboard to show off their brand or personal style with bold colors and special effects.
Interesting.
She also observed a General Geographic trend. European customers tend to be more adventurous and daring with their color choices than their North American counterparts. It sort of reflects different cultural approaches to showing off your success.
Finally, on the commercial side, what new effect finishes are being pushed for the big airliners?
Sherwin-Williams recently launched their 850 series SKYscapes Effect Finishes. It's a high-performance polyurethane base coat line designed specifically for the commercial sector.
So they're balancing speed in that luxury look.
Exactly. They're available in mica, metallic, and hybrid finishes. They're designed for productivity and can be used for anything from simple striping and accents to a full aircraft paint completion. It ensures those premium looks are now achievable even under the intense time pressures of the commercial MRO world.
If Menkiewicz and Sherwin-Williams are focused on the product chemistry and application, AkzoNobel is showing us the strategic infrastructural side of this market.
And their commitment to modernization in North America is massive. It's a geopolitical hedge as much as it is a capacity upgrade.
It is a profound strategic commitment. AkzoNobel is investing a staggering $50 million, that's about $58.6 million, to modernize its site in Waukegan, Illinois.
And this is their single largest aerospace coatings manufacturing facility in the world.
$50 million is a monumental long-term bet. What is the fundamental reason for sinking that much capital into one North American site right now?
Patrick Bourguignon, their director of automotive and specialty coatings, stated that the investment is driven by the expected significant sustained rise in air travel demand, particularly in North America, which is still their largest market.
So they're preparing for a massive surge in painting demand.
They are. The goal is clear: to strengthen the North American supply network and ensure customers, both OEMs and MROs, can meet that growth without suffering long lead times or supply volatility. It's an investment in local capacity and reliability.
What does this modernization project actually involve in practical terms?
It's a two-phase investment. It's designed to expand production capacity through new equipment and higher levels of automation. And critically, they're also adding a brand new dedicated warehouse facility across the state line in Pleasant Prairie, Wisconsin.
Okay, let's break down the Waukegan facility itself first. What are the new internal upgrades?
The Waukegan site is vast 11 acres, about 200 employees. It manufactures their whole portfolio from primers to clear coats, and it houses their dedicated color center for custom matching.
And the specific enhancements.
They're introducing a liquid pre-batch area, which speeds up raw material integration. They're also installing high-speed dissolvers to improve mixing efficiency. But the most important addition from a customer perspective is the creation of a specialized rapid service unit.
A rapid service unit. That name implies emergency responsiveness. Who is that for?
It is explicitly aimed at shortening turnaround times for MRO customers. When an aircraft is grounded, a situation known as AOG, or aircraft on ground, and it needs a quick touch-up or a small batch of custom color, every single hour is incredibly expensive for the airline.
Right.
This unit will be optimized to fulfill those urgent, customized orders much faster than the typical production line, giving MROs a competitive edge and minimizing their clients' downtime.
Now let's talk about the logistics strategy behind that new warehouse in Wisconsin. Why relocate warehousing if you're trying to expand capacity at the manufacturing site? Wouldn't keeping them together be more efficient?
It's a classic manufacturing optimization move. You separate the high-volume standard manufacturing from the highly customized variable-run manufacturing. By moving the large-scale warehousing operations to Pleasant Prairie, it frees up critical square footage at the Waukegan facility.
And that space is then repurposed for the more complex small-batch work.
Exactly. That freed-up space can then be dedicated to increasing production of those highly customized coatings that are essential for special liveries and one-off color matches. It allows the manufacturing site to focus on flexible, high-value production rather than just storage and distribution.
Martine Arkestein, their Global Operations Director, emphasized this isn't just about AkzoNobel's efficiency.
No, he noted that these upgrades provide greater flexibility in general, enabling larger batch deliveries. But for the MRO market, the biggest advantage is shorter lead times for color development.
Which is a huge deal.
It is. When an airline needs a complex, custom color matched quickly for a major contract, minimizing that lead time translates into less logistical risk and a better ability to bid competitively on tight MRO schedules. That $50 million is a direct investment in customer supply chain predictability.
And we should highlight, AkzoNobel deals with immense aesthetic complexity in the commercial sector, too.
For sure. The prime example cited is China Southern Airlines. They have these vibrant special liveries, and their most recent, a striking Airbus A350 used AkzoNobel coatings in a massive 48-color scheme.
48 colors on one aircraft. That's just staggering. That complexity isn't just about paint. It's about inventory management, batch consistency, and color accuracy across nearly 50 distinct products.
It's a massive logistical challenge. It demonstrates that the demand for these complex aesthetic results has to be met right alongside the core requirements of durability and supply chain reliability. The ability to supply 48 distinct colors for one plane speaks volumes about the complexity the chemical manufacturers have to meet today.
We've spent most of our time discussing the product manufacturers, the science and strategy. Now we need to look at the front lines, the MRO sector, where the painting actually happens. And Airborne Colors provides a perfect snapshot of the market pressures and explosive growth on the service side.
Simon Cracknell, their sales and marketing director, identifies this major ongoing trend from the last 5 years. Major airlines are increasingly choosing to outsource their paint work instead of operating their own large facilities.
Why are they giving up their in-house paint shops? That seems like losing control over a critical part of maintenance.
It boils down to simple economics. Dedicated MRO specialists like Airborne Colors have higher bay utilization rates and specialized workforces. For an airline, running a multi-million dollar paint hangar year-round is just incredibly costly, especially during seasonal downturns.
So outsourcing lets them focus on their core competency.
Exactly. Flying and line maintenance. It pushes the capital costs and the regulatory complexity of paint application onto the specialists.
And this outsourcing trend is fueling some explosive growth for companies like Airborne Colors. Their recent expansion illustrates the post-pandemic resurgence better than any balance sheet could.
It truly does. They celebrated 15 years in business by opening their second major facility at Teesside Airport, a 27,000 square foot unit that can handle narrow bodies like the A321 and 737 MX-10.
And to put that demand into perspective, their first facility of the same size only opened a few months earlier.
Right. Opening a second, identical facility that rapidly just underscores the overwhelming immediate demand. It validates the massive investments we just talked about at AkzoNobel.
What does that surge in demand translate to in terms of revenue?
Cracknell confirmed it's given the company an annual turnover exceeding $12 million, which is about $16 million. It really highlights how critical and profitable the specialized MRO painting sector has become as airlines rush to repaint older fleets and take delivery of new aircraft.
And they've been expanding their geographic footprint pretty aggressively beyond their original location.
They have. Starting from Bournemouth, they added a facility at East Midlands Airport in 2014, then a second bay there a year later. They also expanded into Exeter Airport in 2023 for business and regional aircraft and launched Airborne Executive at London Biggin Hill Airport specifically for components.
Things like control surfaces and landing gear.
Exactly.
That focus on smaller components and business jets at Biggin Hill is smart. It caters directly to high-value customers like Bombardier and Gulfstream.
It is. Business aviation accounts for about 20% of their overall workload, and it's a significant and steady chunk. Cracknell contrasts the scheduling needs for the two segments. The post-pandemic rush for airline work is now settling into the traditional busy season, October to May.
But business aviation is different.
It sees a fairly even flow of work throughout the year, which offers important scheduling stability.
With all this rapid expansion and the industry backlog, are they considering wide-body aircraft? That requires even larger, more complex hangars.
Not yet, but it is under consideration. Cracknell acknowledges there is a huge backlog of work with extended waiting times in the industry for wide-body painting. So if the demand holds and they secure the capital, wide bodies are the next natural strategic step.
Handling that much volume requires more than just bigger hangars. It requires a robust, certified support structure.
They do. They outsource what's called Part 145 support to generate certificates of release to service.
And Part 145 is the regulatory framework.
It is. It's the recognized framework for aircraft maintenance organization approval in Europe and the UK. It basically ensures all the work adheres to rigorous safety and quality standards before the aircraft can re-enter service.
So they bring in specialist firms to verify the work, allowing Airborne to focus purely on their core competency, expert paint application.
So let's talk about the economic impact of that complexity we discuss. We know special schemes are these lighthouse projects, but how does that translate into time and cost on the MRO floor?
The contract is dramatic, and it directly explains the need for innovations like wild spraying. Cracknell provides specific metrics. A standard strip and paint job for a narrow body, say a 737-800, takes about 9 days.
Okay, 9 days. And a special scheme.
A special scheme can take twice as long, up to 18 days. And it's obviously much more expensive.
That extra week of downtime is incredibly valuable to an airline. It's an aircraft that isn't earning revenue. That cost pressure is exactly what forces paint manufacturers to invent faster systems.
And Airborne is the company executing these complex projects. They've been working with Brussels Airlines for 10 years, handling their annual projects like that Tomorrowland Festival scheme.
Their latest masterpiece, completed in March 2025, featured the Atomium, the huge representation of an iron crystal from the 1958 Brussels World Fair painted onto an A320.
These projects demand just incredible skill, intensive masking, and perfect execution under tight deadlines. It's a real testament to the skill level needed in the MRO sector. Now, on the environmental side, Cracknell notes that technology adoption is notoriously slow in aviation. Why is that? Is it just inertia, or is it the regulatory hurdles?
It's largely regulatory scrutiny. Everything has to be certified, tested for long-term reliability, and approved for structural integrity. So change is slow and expensive. But he confirms two major environmental drivers are making headway in the MRO hangar.
And what are those key changes?
The big one is the widespread use of chrome-free primer, which aligns with the trends we saw at Sherwin-Williams. That's becoming standard practice. UV-cured sealants are also starting to appear, offering fast curing times, but their adoption is currently driven more by cost and availability rather than being a mandatory standard yet.
And how is Airborne designing their new facilities, like the one at Teesside, to handle these environmental and efficiency challenges?
They've integrated some cutting-edge MRO facility design elements. This includes things like recirculating heating systems for energy efficiency, improved air filtration to capture VOCs, and using LED lighting.
And the LED lighting isn't just for energy efficiency, is it?
No. Crucially, it provides a much better, brighter, more consistent light source for detailed inspection during application and curing.
What about the sanding process? That must create a massive amount of hazardous dust.
Absolutely. They installed a dedicated dust extraction system that directs the residual dust straight into a hopper for easier, cleaner, and safer disposal. It minimizes airborne contamination in the facility.
It sounds like they used every tool available to optimize the facility.
With one interesting real-world limitation. Cracknell noted that they wanted to install solar panels on the roof for energy sustainability, but they were excluded from the Teesside facility design because of a conflict with air traffic control regulations.
Oh.
It just shows the very unique and strict constraints of building infrastructure right next to a busy airfield.
Finally, as airborne colors expand so quickly, the biggest long-term challenge probably isn't capacity or technology, it's people. The need for certified painters must be immense.
They recognized this gap early. In June 2025, they launched the Aircraft Painting Trainee Program in partnership with Hartlepool College. And it's heavily funded by the local combined authority, which recognizes the economic importance of the sector.
What does the training look like? Is it academic or purely practical?
It's a dedicated pipeline for professional technicians. There's an initial intake of 24 trainees who get 6 weeks of foundational training, followed by a substantial 19-month period that combines paid practical work with educational phases. It's designed to provide real on-the-job experience.
And what certification do they earn at the end?
They earn the internationally recognized SAE AS7489 certification. This is the global standard for aerospace surface finishing, and it ensures these new technicians can immediately enter the certified Part 145 maintenance workforce.
And they get real hands-on training.
They do. The company actually acquired an ATR-42 fuselage and various other components specifically to use in the Teesside hangar for realistic, practical instruction.
That commitment to practical certified training shows that the entire sector, from chemical manufacturers anticipating capacity needs to MRO providers developing the next generation of painters, is betting big on sustained, complex growth and the need for highly skilled execution. What an incredible deep dive into a sector that is usually invisible to the passenger. We've covered everything from the base coat chemistry to the business strategy of global MRO expansion.
And the convergence of quality and speed is the key theme here. Innovations like Mankiewicz's wing flex and that wild spraying technique are proving that you can improve durability and significantly shorten turnaround time simultaneously.
And underpinning it all is this strategic shift towards sustainability and resilience. The large-scale investment in chrome-free solutions, plus ExxonMobil's massive infrastructural spend to boost North American capacity, it shows that manufacturers are preparing for a world where supply chain reliability and regulatory compliance are non-negotiable strategic assets.
The resulting demand then lands squarely on the MRO service sector, driving Airborne Color's exponential expansion and their investment in a highly trained, certified workforce.
The market has recovered, and now it's forcing innovation across the entire supply chain. It's no longer acceptable just for the aircraft to look good. The process has to optimize downtime, ensure long-term structural protection, and meet the highest environmental standards.
And connecting the dots between the technology and the business strategy, we've seen how intensely companies use paint for branding. Whether it's a stunning 48-color China Southern scheme or those augmented reality liveries for Brussels Airlines.
It's incredible.
And given the pace of innovation, specifically in paint durability, and that new capability for in-service repair we saw with products like Alix at Wingflex, it raises a fascinating question about the future of brand identity for airlines.
And that is?
Well, if paint durability and in-service repair continue to improve, and the painting process shortens dramatically through techniques like wild spraying and faster curing coatings, will special liveries become so easy and cost-effective that aircraft branding transitions from a long-term, semi-permanent strategy to a fluid, seasonal, or even event-driven tactic? If you can repaint an A320 in just a few days at a lower cost, does the definition of an airline's standard look become far more flexible, making the aircraft itself a constantly evolving marketing canvas?
A truly provocative thought. That could completely change the dynamic of airline marketing budgets, shifting them toward fluid, highly responsive branding. That's something to mull or explore on your own.
Indeed.
For now, that's all the time we have for this deep dive into the science and strategy of aircraft skin. Thank you for joining us.